tough questions for the very light jet industry. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Last week, we brought you some excerpts from NBAA's panel of VLJ manufacturers. Today, we'll continue with some tough questions from moderator Mike Nichols. Our panelists, in order of their first appearance today, include Michael McConnell, President and General Manager, Customer Division of Eclipse Aviation, Claudio Camilleri, VP for Market Intelligence of Embraer, Rick Schrammick, CEO of Epic Aircraft, and Jack Brawley, President and CEO of AAI Incorporated.
Now, we'll get into some more difficult questions, so hopefully I'm asking these questions respectfully and not putting you on the spot too much. And Mike, I'm going to start with you. Another question on everybody's mind, how is DayJet's recent announcement that they discontinued operations affecting Eclipse?
Well, we're very saddened by DayJet's announcement. The data that Ed has shared publicly was proving that that model was working, that being the per seat on demand as opposed to the whole aircraft charter. Some of the data that he released publicly was over 50%, more than 50% of the people that had flown in it as a customer had been a repeat customer. And so their model started with what's called enterprise, only business. So they had not gone after the leisure market. In fact, it was just last month that they announced they were going to start flying on the weekends. And it was also last month when they achieved overwater ops approval. So put that together, you're out of Boca, you're going to be going out to the Caribbean. That's probably a pretty strong market as you expand out from the enterprise business. And so we still continue to believe in what Ed built in a very unique way, just like we believe in other fractional markets or charter. Where, again, when you introduce value and economics into for hire operations, you should be able to sell more. Eclipse never built its model around DayJet. We didn't build a model around any number of orders. In fact, we have, on a very conservative basis, from our financial planning, taken out most of the DayJet business to see if we could make it without. And our model has never been predicated on that. So it's very unfortunate, but we're fine. We've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of orders to fill, and we'll do that. And I think most of our customers will be very happy to move to the left instead of having to wait so long. We wish nothing but success to Ed and his team and how DayJet, whatever happens with them. They were a great partner.
Thanks. And a follow-on question, which Michael asked you to answer first and then open that up to the rest of the panel for their perspective. So you shared your thoughts a little bit with regard to DayJet in particular, but the overall air taxi market, do you see any change to how people will perceive what the air taxi market is and how VLJs might fit into that, or just elaborate on that?
I think you can't help but without investigating, come to the conclusion if DayJet goes away, ergo air taxi goes away. And we don't see that relationship. We've gone out of our way to try to show that relationship is not equal. The idea of air taxi, you know, the regs call, there's a lot of word use of air taxi in Part 135. And so the idea of air taxi, Joe Leader is in the audience and he has an air taxi association. The idea of air taxi, not many people were trying to do what DayJet was doing on a per seat. Bill Herp and Linear Air does a nice job of connecting city pairs up in the Northeast. And while you use the whole aircraft, you basically buy the whole aircraft, where he has created predictability is in the idea of city pairs. And that idea, if you can introduce a way to make money, and that's what this is about. How do you make money doing this? The question's always been, well, if this is such a great idea, why don't you do it with a bunch of King Airs or get some old Citation 500s for $1 million? Why won't it work there? It is in a very simple way is that if you can price something in a way that is more compelling or a better alternative, then that's what can help create all new markets or expand these markets. And so whether it's whole charter or branded charter, there are all types of words that are being used in business plans today as people are out trying to raise money. It really comes back to the DayJet model was very unique and was proving that it worked. Other models of city pairs versus just I have a charter and I charge $1,400 an hour with a single pilot. If you want to charter a King Air 350, it's $1,600 an hour. What do you want? I need to take my children and three bicycles and 400 pounds of toys. You're probably going to take the King Air. If you want to get somewhere fast and it's a day business trip, the Eclipse is a great choice and it's more economical. And I think that's what certainly North American Jet, Linear Air, Dayjet was proving. Gold Aviation, I shouldn't name them because I'm going to miss one of our customers, but a number of our 135 customers are proving this today in that, hey, I can offer you a jet at this price point and it's working.
Would anybody else like to comment on views on the air taxi market with VLJs?
I agree with Michael that the failure of Dayjet doesn't mean that the air taxi model would not work. We believe that under the right market conditions and under the right pricing conditions, this model have a great chance of success. Of course, the way that Dayjet choose to get into the market with a per seat model is much more complicated than a model based on the full aircraft sale. Our customers they are mostly their plans are to operate these airplanes on a branded charter air taxi operation. So they will be chartering the full airplane, not by seat. And the model makes a lot of sense. You know, whenever you have a single type aircraft fleet operating in a certain geographical region, limited number of airports, there are lots of opportunities to save costs in this kind of operation. So that's the kind of market that our customers are targeting, and we do believe on the success of this market.
Yeah, I think that I agree with both of you. I think that's exactly what we're seeing, business model failure or because of economics or anything else, having nothing to do with the product or anything else, that the customer base that we see specifically for the Elite product overseas is generally foreign air taxi and a charter on a per plane basis. That when you look at the Middle East, when you look at India, when you look at China, the Philippines, there are a lot of places where our customers, South America, Brazil is a wonderful place. The customers that we're seeing out there, we're generally seeing them as not owner operators. They will be professionally flown outside of the United States. In the U.S., we've never as a company gone after the air taxi market because we saw, from where we came on the experimental side, we saw owner operators as being our market, and certainly our market that we could touch, that we could successfully deliver to. And when we looked at large operations here in the United States, we didn't feel in the short term that we could supply that. We're feeling a little bit different now, but more specifically outside. So I think it just depends on where in the world. But that business 135 is wonderful.
I'll add that the interesting component of the word air taxi, I think Dayjet did a wonderful thing globally in that they taught the world about this idea of air taxi and using a VLJ and Eclipse 500, how to go do this on a point-to-point basis on a 200-mile, a 300-mile trip. And that idea has been embraced in places like Turkey and in Russia, in places that there's truly leapfrog technology as opposed to building more railways and highways. It's frankly easier to build airports or use current city pairs. India, for instance, has 164 airports that are closed. They're perfectly good airports, and they're ex-military bases. So it takes a visionary not just to buy airplanes and figure out how to put in Dayjet's Astro system, but it takes someone to say, I'm going to go buy 20 airports, and I'm going to own those city pairs, and then I'm going to use a platform to go connect them, and that's how you go create an infrastructure. And those are the things that are happening, and it really truly is happening around the world.
I don't have much to add to that. I think we've covered it pretty well, but I'm sure I could speak for all of us that we're watching the market and hoping that these operators can figure out how to make some money doing this. It reminds me a lot of the old days with the commuters, where everybody wanted to be a commuter, and yet we had to filter through so many various operators to find the good ones that could make a commuter operation really work, starting with 19-passenger airplanes. So now the air taxi guys, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of different ideas on how to make money doing this. And I think as OEMs, we're sitting here wishing you the best and prepared to produce the airplanes that you need. It's going to be interesting.
In a moment, the tough questions continue. What can we learn from Adam Aircraft's bankruptcy? I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option, from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed, comes standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. We're listening to four executives of VLJ manufacturers answer some tough questions about their industry and on their individual companies from a panel discussion at NBAA 2008. In order of first appearance in this segment, you'll hear moderator Mike Nichols, Jack Brawley, President and CEO of AAI Incorporated, Rick Schrammick, CEO of Epic Aircraft, and Claudio Camilleri, VP for Market Intelligence at Embraer.
Jack, a question for you. Just in case there is somebody doubting in the audience, I understand that you're an industry veteran, you have lots of experience. And $200 million of budget and also support of the investors for certification. Are there lessons that you learned from the Adam bankruptcy that you're applying now? How would you give somebody confidence that you're definitely going to make it through? Because we're all rooting for you.
Thank you. I think if you just look at it and think about it from a financial perspective, I usually have said that it takes $500 million to certify and put into production a new airplane like this, just ballpark numbers. Adam Aircraft had spent $300 million to get as far as they got. I think there's various people on the board that would have admitted that some of that money was wasted, but not all of it. And when the current investors, our current investors came along and were able to buy that for $10 million and put all that past investment behind them, it wasn't their investment. They bought all the assets. As I've said, the airplane is about half certified, halfway there. So they're starting with a $10 million investment. Our budgets, and I've shared that with people in the press conferences today, we're looking at another $200 million to get this airplane certified and put in production. So again, that kind of lines up. Adam's 300, the new investor's 200. There's your $500 million to put into production of this kind of an airplane. So we'll have an investment of $200 million and be a very viable airplane and should be a very viable company and have a lot better opportunity to regain the investment and go forward with it. I don't know if I answered everything.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much. Rick, a question for you. How are things in Georgia? You have to tell folks what happened, if that's affected your certification program at all.
Well, certainly as far as the elite is still at some level hostage in Tbilisi. We have a way to move the aircraft from the old military airport over to the civilian airport, and that would be by helicopter lifting it up. But until I feel that it's safe enough for one of our pilots or one of Tortilla's pilots to get in the aircraft and fly it out, it will remain there. The relationship, Tortilla wanted to do a Russian certification. Mr. Putin has certainly changed that capability. I think that's pretty much off the table at this point in time. So that aircraft will come back to Canada, and we will continue the certification with a Canadian facility up in Canada, and that is a Canadian registered aircraft. I would have to say, if you look at the number of people that are sitting out here and the smaller number of panel, I've been now on three panels. This is the smallest one I've been on. Tells me a couple of things. Number one, I'll go back to it's harder than I thought, but it does seem a shame that in certification of aircraft, certainly in the United States and maybe even globally, that multiple companies have to go bankrupt multiple times before somebody is able to get an airplane through certification. That's just a sad state of reality, I think is what it is. Our business model is dramatically different. So, and being profitable, it does help us, albeit without going into the outside financial market. It is slower in our methodology, but it still comes out the same way. And since we're able to generate revenue, it does help in the certification process by generating revenue and learning how to build stuff and how to design it and how customers use it. But it's a struggle. I mean, I hope there's not a smaller panel next year and a smaller group of people. I'd like to see it larger and larger.
Right, absolutely. I agree with that. Thank you very much. Now, Claudio, a question for you. Can you talk a little bit about the most important lessons that you've learned as the one company up here that wasn't building aircraft, certification of aircraft, not a new start or owner-build, home-build type program? What lessons have you learned from previous business aircraft certification and manufacturing that were applied to the Phenom project?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that Embraer is a big corporation, that we have a commercial aircraft division, a defense aircraft division, and now a business jet aircraft division certainly helps a lot. We got resources from the company to develop the Phenoms and now to develop the Legacy 450 and 500. The team of engineers that are working on the Phenom today are the same engineers that have worked in the past on the Embraer 170, the Embraer 190. So there's a lot of added experience or added benefits to the Phenom because of this experience that we get from our people. We profit on all of this is that all the lessons learned on previous programs, all the know-how in getting the airplane certified, getting the airplane flight tested, getting the airplane produced, ramping up production. It's all this knowledge is inside the company. All those people have worked together before, so it's an easier task for us. Certifying or producing an airplane, developing an airplane, flight testing it, certifying it, and putting it into production at a high production rate is not an easy task. But the fact that we are used on doing this with commercial jets and also defense products helps us a lot.
In tomorrow's conclusion of our coverage of NBAA's VLJ panel, we'll touch on a major issue that will have a great effect on the acceptance of very light jets and ultimately on their safety, and that's training. Find links to each of these companies and to NBAA in the data block which accompanied this AeroCast. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.net.
I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.